Good morning, church.
Morning.
I guess it doesn't come any big surprise to you that vacation is in full swing. I see your pictures at the beach, at the pool, in the mountains, even a couple at Grand Canyon. Everybody's taking vacation. You've been penned up for so long, everybody can't wait to get out. And just so we wouldn't be outdone by any of you, my wife and I planned a little trip with some friends a while back, go to the beach together. I think it's in a couple weeks we're supposed to go. After we planned this trip, we're standing in front of the mirror. That's not the beach body. The pandemic pounds were very obvious. And so we're like, man, you know, we're looking at this. Mirror's not going to lie. Now, there are some people say you got skinny mirrors and fat mirrors and lighted mirrors, you know, but we have a truth mirror. You know, that's the kind we got. And it's like, yeah, that's not it. So with this new revelation from what we see in the mirror, we said, you know, we need to come up with something that we can have some kind of transformation before people, you know, see the truth. You know, clothes can hide a lot. Now, I can't hide it all, just so you'll know. A couple months ago or so, I was preaching a lady that I love dearly. You just have to know her. This is her personality. And she was watching online. She comes up, you know, she happened to be the next service that I preached. It was live. And so she came up, hey, Pastor, how you doing? She said, the sermon you preached a couple weeks ago, I looked at you and you're getting fat. You know, my first thought was, you know what happened when they called the man of God, just Tony had a bald head, that they got mauled by bears? You know, you don't have any idea what could happen to you right now. Anyway, I love her to death. Hey, you know what? I got you. You see, that's part of that whole revelation. Oh, my goodness. You see that? Now it's time to go to the beach. We need something to change. You know, anything that you have in your life, that you have in your mind, that you really want to see change, and not just a temporary change, but a lasting change, a meaningful change. There's three things that are going to have to take place before you see that. Number one is that you're going to need information. And when I say information, I mean information that's true, correct information. You're going to need revelation. And then you're going to have transformation. Information is when you're curious, when you see something in it, and it strikes something in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. It creates a desire to know something. That's curiosity. And whenever you are looking for information, we want information that's true, that's correct, that can be counted on as being right. And once you have that information, now not all information will bring revelation, because when I say revelation, I'm thinking about something that's personal to you. And so if you have this information that you know to be true, and then something happens where that information then becomes personal to you, it's generally accompanied with some type of conviction or feeling down in your heart, I need to use this to make a change. And that comes on the tail end of humility and honesty. You know, you look at the truth of a mirror and say, that's just a fat mirror. No, that's the truth. That's real. And then you look at that and you have to say it with honesty and humility. And all of a sudden, then you have something that comes real to you. And a part of that whole revelation understanding is a part of you developing in your mind some type of plan or a goal. And, you know, wow, I see this. This is true. And this is, for me, this is a personal thing. And in order for that to see lasting change, There has to be an action plan in place. And if you follow that action plan, true and lasting change, true and lasting transformation will come about. But let's just all be honest with ourselves. Most of us, the latter part of that revelation part, whenever we're presented with the truth, and then we see we have a feeling of conviction, or it comes upon us that we really need to make a change, and we put together some type of plan in our mind or on paper in some way. Between information, revelation, and transformation, there's this big area called hard work. It's not just having the truth. It's not just having a revelation that you have a conviction about it. In order to see real transformation, that's a big gap between revelation and transformation. It's called work. And none of us like that. It's sacrifice. It's difficult. It's denying self. That's a hard thing to do. Jesus said it this way. He said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. We have to count the cost. We have to know that space between revelation and transformation. And that spreads to so many different parts of our life. You know, you can be in a place where you need a transformation in your finances, and you can look at the month or the week or the year, and you say, okay, you're looking at your pay stub. This is how much I make. Then you look at all your bills, what you're having to pay out. And then you look at your bank balance. And you come to a revelation. You sit down with the truth. Your paycheck is the truth. That's what went into your account. These are your bills. These have to be paid. This is your bank balance. And you have a revelation. Every single month, I'm going $200 in the hole. And so my debt accumulation is beginning to build. Oh, my gosh. Now, you've had correct and truthful information. And now that revelation is becoming personal to you. You see it. And you have this feeling in your gut. You know something isn't right. And so you come up with a plan. I can't continue to go $200 a month in the hole. So what am I going to do? You go back and look at the information you've got. What do you do? Well, first of all, I could change my paycheck or what I have coming in the house by getting another job, a second job, replacing the one I have now. I could go take this course to get certified in this so that next job opportunity that comes up, I'll have the ability to get that maybe. I could cut down on my expenses and look at my bills. I don't need Netflix and Hulu and Vudu. I don't need all of those, right? I can cut out three of the four. I can make that sacrifice. I don't need to go out to eat three times a week. I can go out to eat once a week, you know. And so you develop this plan. But as soon as you have this correct information and you have this incredible revelation and you put together this plan, the week after that, you're like, daggum it. That series my friend told me about, it's on Hulu, and I canceled that. Maybe I could just add that back. Friends call, they want me to go out to dinner with them. Yeah, it's kind of an expensive place, but I don't want to miss that. When it comes to that hard work, that's where most of us fall off the wagon. It takes perseverance to hold on. To see that lasting change. See, the whole idea as believers, the Bible says it's not just enough to begin well, but you need to finish well. Jesus said, count the cost. Make sure that you know what it's going to take in order to see it through. And, you know, one thing that we all have in common, you know, those of us who are really human, are real people. We've had to try and lose weight or try to get healthy when, most like me, many times in your life you cycle through that. Isn't that the hardest thing to do? You know, it's easy to diet after you go through the Sunday buffet, right? Great, gosh. Whew. Man, I'm going on a diet tomorrow. Man, I'm not going to eat anything for a week. And then Sunday night comes around, oh, I'm starving. You just had a big buffet, dude. You said you weren't eating. Man, you said you weren't eating for a week. Oh, man, that's too hard. That's too hard. Isn't that the way it works, though?
Amen.
That big gap, that real hard-working thing. Information. We need truth. We need to make sure that what we're looking at is correct. Then through humility and honesty, it will be revealed to us how it applies to us, and along with that conviction, there will be a plan of some sort that comes into play. And then through hard work and perseverance, we see lasting change through transformation. I want to share a story with you that illustrates that well. It's a story about the prophet Samuel in the Old Testament. The prophet Samuel was the son of Hannah, and she was barren. She was not able to have children, and you need to understand the culture back during that time. You were looked at as an outcast. Something's wrong with you. God was not really for you. Something is, you know, for a woman to have children, especially male children, you were elevated in society. So if you were barren and you couldn't have children, you were really looked down upon. And Hannah was one of those. Hannah was barren. She hadn't had any children. And her friends, people in her family, they ridiculed her. And it was just crushing her. Anyway, one of their annual trips to the temple, she came before the Lord, cried out to God that he would open up her womb. And she made this promise to God. If you give me a son, I promise you I will dedicate him to your work. And so about a year later, she gave birth to her son Samuel. And after he was weaned, she held true to her promise to God. She takes him to Eli, the high priest at the temple, and says, he is now yours. You remember I was here a year ago and I was crying out to God. You remember me? Yes, I do remember you. This is the child that I asked God for. And I made a promise and a vow that if he would give me a son, I would give him to you so he could be raised in the ways of the Lord and serve him in his temple. Fantastic. Took the boy Samuel. Samuel was raised in the house of the Lord by Eli, the high priest. And so he was there with him every single day, schooled there, experienced everything there. And when he was somewhere around 12 years old, that's about the best they can come up with, somewhere when he was around 12 years old, he had an encounter with God. And we find that in 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it says that the lamp of God, and he was part of the story, Samuel was going to sleep. And it says that the lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me, my son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I want you to stop for a minute and think about how could that be? Now, I want to preface this by understanding if you're a parent or a grandparent, you need to understand that young children can have incredible encounters with God. Don't underestimate the power of God to speak to and through your children, even when they're young. Amen. That is why we have such a powerful children's ministry here, because that is our conviction that God is going to call and hold children to himself. And even though Samuel was young, the Lord was calling to him. But it says he did not yet know the Lord. Now, think about this for a minute. He was in essence, born in the house of God. Now, some of you that are here, some of you that are watching, you were born in the church too. Your mama brought you every Sunday night, Wednesday night, every prayer meeting. Every VBS, some of y'all grew up in the church. Samuel was the same way. Think about that. He lived there. The scriptures make a point of saying that he was there where the ark of God was. In other words, the very presence of God itself. He was sleeping in the very presence of God. But he did not yet know God. There's a lot of people that grew up in the church that don't know God. You can know of God, and Samuel certainly did, right? I mean, he saw sacrifices to God. He heard incredible prayers. The scripture was read all through the day. Incredible worship music. Just think about that. In the very presence of God, and yet he still did not know God. So Samuel had great information, right? Samuel had truth. He heard the scripture all the time. He heard incredible prayers. He heard the word spoken and preached and dissected and put in application. The information he had about God was good. It was perfect. It was true. But yet he had not had the revelation from God. As a matter of fact, the next part of that verse says, "Now Samuel did not know the Lord." Why? Because the word of the Lord had not yet been what? Revealed to him. So you can have the correct information, but revelation comes when it's opened up, whenever we have a heart of honesty and humility. That's breeding ground for revelation, where real truth comes to you personally, and you say, it kind of stabs you right here. It's like, I never saw that before. I never noticed that before. I never heard that before. I never saw that need in my life before. It's like curtains are pulled back. It's like, you know, behind curtain number two, and it comes back. Wow, there's revelation. So Samuel had all this truth, this great information, but yet he had not had the revelation, and God shows up with revelation. So the story continues. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went away, lay down in his place, and the Lord came. Oh, this just gives me chill bumps every time I read it. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times. I want you to understand, the other times the Lord was not standing there next to him. He was calling him, but he was not standing next to him. He was calling and said, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Whenever we get ready for God to bring us revelation, and our heart is in that place of revelation where through honesty and humility, we're asking God, "Lord, speak to us because I am listening." That is when the Lord comes and stands by your side. Amen. That is when the presence of God shows up in the power of his spirit. And he is there. He's not just calling, but he's standing next to you, speaking to your spirit through his spirit. And it's because we have an understanding and an open heart full of humility and honesty. I'm going to tell you the thing that you've heard me speak about, pride and humility, through many years. And I'm going to tell you, humility is a magnet to the Spirit of God. Yes. Scripture says that I will oppose the proud, but I will give grace, I will give favor to the humble. If you have humility, true humility, where you're broken before God, that is like a magnet. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, desperately, constantly looking for the heart that's truly his, that which is broken and contrite before him. The Lord shows up for that type of person that has a broken and contrite heart. speak, for your servant is listening. Verse 19 says that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That means Samuel was so intimate with God. He walked in his spirit so well that the Lord protected his tongue. He never allowed Samuel to speak something that was not in collusion, was not in alignment with what God wanted to be said, because he was God's prophet. And in the Old Testament, if a prophet said something that didn't turn out right, they would stone you. You know, there's a lot of people now that would call themselves a prophet, and they say things, oh, you know, the Lord told me to tell you, or the Lord said this was going to happen, it doesn't happen. You need to understand, in the Old Testament, you die. So anytime you say, yeah, the Lord showed me this, or the Lord told me to tell you this, that this is going to happen, or this is not going to happen, be very careful. And the Lord never allowed one word of Samuel to fall to the ground. He grew in favor in God's sight and in everyone else's sight. He goes on to say that all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel. How? How did he reveal himself to Samuel? By the word of the Lord. How did he reveal himself to Samuel? By the word of the Lord. How is God going to reveal himself to you? By the word of the Lord. The Lord is going to reveal himself. Listen closely. The Lord is going to reveal himself to you by the word of the Lord. Yes. And so if you want to understand God's heart, God's mind, God's plan, God's power, it's going to come by revelation through the word. So this is the question, is what needs to be transformed in your life right now? What needs to be transformed? What needs lasting change in your life? If you can think of one area, most of us will think of many. You're going to need those three things. You're going to need information that is true, that you're seeking understanding about that which is true. It's going to take revelation, which you gain by having humility, honesty, and it then becomes personal. There becomes a conviction about it, which will be followed by plan. And this is the big part, hard work, perseverance. Then and only then would you see real transformation, lasting change. And you need to understand, this is not a one and done type of thing. You know, Scripture says that we go, as believers, we go from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. And that's one level of glory to another level of glory. And each level that you go further with God, you're going to need those three things. You're going to need to be revealed. God's going to give you truth in his word. And then as you have humility and honesty, you seek God, God is going to reveal himself through his word to you. And then here's going to be another chance for lasting change. We are called to be more like Jesus, and we'll be transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. You won't ever get to a place where I made it to glory. No, you're going to go to glory to glory to glory. And so what area of your life do you really need change right now? It could be physical. Sometimes we have the convenience of trying to be good to our bodies while we're younger. Well, while y'all younger. But as you get older, it becomes mandatory. Things kind of begin to fall apart a little bit. It could be spiritual. Maybe you're in a dry place. A lot of people who need spiritual transformation, they are from a place where they're spiritually bitter. Where there's been envy or jealousy somewhere in your heart. You feel as if people around you, they've been dealt a better hand than you have been dealt. And sometimes we can translate that in our thought process, goes something like, well, God, I love you, therefore you're supposed to love me. And if you really loved me, you would this. And many times what that means is that we have truthful information, we have revelation, but we don't develop perseverance, and God is not going to bring you transformation without you participating in that process. So don't think, wow, God would transform me physically if he really loved me. God would transform me spiritually if he really loved me. God would work out my finances if he really loved me. God would bring me the right wife if he just loved. He would bring me the right husband. My question would be, well, how are you trying to find a husband? I figure whenever the Lord would bring one to me, he would be mine, doofus. You better put some bait in the water. How are you supposed to catch anything if you're not fishing? Well, I just want the Lord to fix my finances. How do you think he's going to do that? Well, you know, I'm playing the lottery every week. And you're trying to bless that ticket. Wait for another stimulus check, but I ain't going to last forever. I'm going to tell you that. That's a temporary thing. What it's going to take is hard work. See, what happens is God gives you truth. And as you look at truth with honesty and humility, he will reveal to you how that needs to look in your life. He will give you the how. Remember, I told you many times before, the Word of God never tells you how to do anything. It only tells you what you have to do. This is what you have to do. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's what I'm supposed to do, yes. Well, how do I do that? That's going to be totally different from every single man to man to man, marriage, 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 from woman to woman to woman. How do I do that? And that comes revelation. And so if you know you kind of suck as a husband and your marriage isn't doing real well, and you have enough honesty and humility to realize you're not spending enough time with your wife, so you know what? I'm going to take my wife out for a date every week. Lord, help me take my wife out for a date every week. When Saturday night comes, ball game's on. Lord, maybe next week. Let me tell you something. But yet you still cry out to God for him to fix your marriage. It don't work that way. You see, God will give you truth. He will give you revelation. He will give you conviction. He will give you the power of the Spirit to follow through. But he is not going to take your wife out on a date for you. That's on you. If you want to be a better dad, the Lord's not going to go to your boys' ball game for you. That's on you. If you need financial change, God's not going to stop your spending. That's on you. So don't blame God for that. It's like this. Did I just knock my water over? Man, that's what happens when you get all excited. You know, it has to be where God gives us the truth and he reveals it to us and we have revelation. But you know what you need with revelation? Perspiration. You have revelation. You need perspiration to get to transformation. It takes hard work. And I know many times, any time you start a process of change, of lasting change, it gets hard and you want to give up. And Scripture says, don't give up. Persevere. That's what the Spirit of God is for. You walk in the Spirit. If the Lord gives you truth and reveals how you need to apply that truth in your life, you know what's going to happen? The Lord comes and stands next to you, as he did Samuel. He stands next to you, and he strengthens you. He is for you. There's no person that can stand against you when God is for you. But don't be deceived. You have to do the work. The miracle comes as the Spirit of God gives you the ability not to quit. We want that kind of miracle that's, whoo, that money automatically appeared in my bank account. That's the kind of miracle I want. Nope. Nope. Work for it. You think a good marriage comes easy? Good gosh. Man, that's the hardest thing in the world, to have a good marriage. You think that takes work? And a marriage goes from glory to glory to glory. You'll never get to a point where, well, we got a great marriage. Well, you have a great marriage. But you know what? In a couple of months, your circumstances of life will change. And guess what? You got to start again. You got to go find truth. Let God reveal to you how it is you need to change your marriage and work on it to see the transformation take place. And that revelation comes. There has to be perspiration to have transformation. I want you to bow your head with me just a minute. I know that may sound all heavy, but I know there's some people that are watching online and some that are here. I know the Spirit of God is revealing to you right in this very moment that area of your life in the past that is probably not new to you. You probably know it's there, and you've tried your very best in the past to deal with it on your own because you know that's what God wanted you to do, but maybe you've never really given it to God totally so that the Spirit of God can come and stand next to you and give you the perseverance and the ability to not quit until it comes about. Maybe you've met with failure after failure after failure. I want you to know God does not want you to continue to fail. He would not lay that on your heart if he did not equip you with everything that you need. The scripture says we have everything that we need for godliness. Every single thing that God calls you to, he equips you. He gives you the ability to see it through. It doesn't mean he makes it easy, but every single time you're just about to turn the switch off, every time you're just about to quit, the Spirit of God will show up and stand next to you and say, no, today is not the day that you'll quit. Not today. You're not going to fall off the wagon today. Not today. Not this time. As you think about that place, remember you have to start with truth. Start with truthful information. You start in the Word of God. And you approach the Word of God with an attitude that says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that comes through humility and honesty. And I promise you, God will reveal himself to you through his word. The Spirit of God will help you formulate a plan to see it come about and will lead you into a greater level of transformation. Well, I want to pray for you. As you listen to this, in whatever way you feel comfortable, you can lift your hands or not, or just whatever it is, some type of physical part or display to God that you're ready to receive. I want to really pray for you. Father, for every mind that is searching truth, every heart that has humility and honesty, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them as you did Samuel. I pray that every single area of their life, start with one with the biggest need that's piercing hearts right now, that feels heavy, that feels difficult. Those ones that we don't want to go to that place again. We want to think about it again. We don't want to hope there again. We don't want to be disappointed in that place again. The place that we've just kind of covered up because we think we'll never have victory in that area. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you would pull back the curtain and have fresh revelation to every heart. pray that you will make it so real to them that you are for them, that you stand beside them. And if you be for them, no one can stand against them. Father, I speak victory. I speak winning. I speak perseverance. I speak a new level of confidence in who you are and who you are in them. That this race that they have begun, they would not just begin well, but they would finish well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week.